Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. I want to get through as much content as I can, so let me just plow forward. You're listening to the only show that actually talks about the only solution that would get the federal government back into compliance, and that solution is Republic Review. That is the process. That's the process that James Madison and Jefferson utilized in 1798. The only problem was that they never really named it. They never named the process. And I don't think Marshall named the process of judicial overreach as judicial review. But the fact of the matter is that's what we call the overreach today is judicial review. And so clearly, as Madison and Jefferson went out to assert state authority in calling upon the states to do their job in keeping the federal government in check, that was within the constitutional boundaries, unlike judicial review. So Republic Review is a constitutional process that unfortunately was really never labeled, named, or what have you. And so the listen line, if you want to, let me just move forward. The listen line, if you want to dial in and just listen because you can't stream because you're out doing some work or something during the period or the time frame for this show, the number is 605-562-4209 or 605-313-0599. Now, one of the things I want to share with you real quick before I kind of get into a wrap-up from yesterday, because I really didn't get a chance to kind of close on the whole concept of what we were talking about as far as the frustrations and maybe the obstacles that I feel like I deal with all the time. And so I'll wrap that up. But I want to share this with you because as this starts moving forward, and I don't want, as a matter of fact, I truly believe that if Biden becomes the Democratic nominee, he becomes the easiest guy to pick off. And that's just because he's the antithesis of the left's movement. And so I would just have a hard time imagining. I think that there would be a lot of people who would just be no-shows because they just can't vote for the old white guy because the Democratic Party has become such racist or racially focused. They're they have such an affinity for social justice that, you know, they want to stick it to the old white men or white men, period. And it just seems like if Biden happens to make that position, the only reason some of the other white men is either because they're homosexual or some other kind of card they're carrying. And so, I mean, that's how radical the left has gotten. In other words, they're no longer worried about the content of the character of the individual. They're more focused on, you know, do you represent a sub-faction of society that, you know, is outside that white male norm? And I'm going, I don't get it. But I do get it because that's how ideologically wired they are. I know Michael Savage calls it a mental disorder, and I know other people, you know, have all sorts of good words for it. But bottom line, I just call it they are hardwired for a paradigm and behavior that is destructive and very dangerous for a society that embraces liberty. They are trying to tip that cart and take over. There's no doubt in my mind. They are trying to take over. So anyway, before I get into the news and marketing for the day or to kind of try to catch up for the week, then, you know, we'll go through kind of the wrap up. But let me just tell you, and I say this every time, if you have not gotten on board with Red State Coffee, then I would just ask that you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, get yourself 1 pound. If you like grinding it yourself, or if you want the fresh grinds, and try this coffee and let us know. We'd like to know what you think of the roast, the flavor, the, you know, and so forth, and the essence of coffee. And that way you can just dial up and leave a message, 425-270-5416. And we got a phone call today, but when you call, please make sure that you either are on a good line or you have good cell coverage, because the call we got today was, we can't use it. It was just, you know, cutting out, dropping, and so forth. And this makes me think, you know, how is it that we've moved as a society to make it just acceptable that our communications could be handled like that? And I'm saying this because there are communications that are critical. I can understand on the personal side, you'll even, if you want to talk to your kids and you really want to hear from them, I think most people would be happy using tin cans with strings and buttons. You know, just, you know, to go secure, you pull a little tighter on it. But the fact is that we are so adjusted to the cell phone use and the crappy services that cell phones still provide to this day, I'm a little amazed that as a former hiring manager, when I tried to do phone interviews, I wouldn't ask the candidate if they had a landline or what have you. I basically, you know, just let them, you know, do whatever they thought they could get away with, because if you don't care, then I don't care. I mean, I'll just look for somebody that actually cares about, you know, their communications, what they're trying to say. And I would never risk my job interview, my opportunity for employment, on the potential drops in coverage or what have you. I always used a landline. I still have a landline. I think that people need to have a landline. Even if it's voice over IP, you're far better off than what we call the hazards, the risks, and or the inconsistencies in cell phone coverage. I've seen people in good cell phone, you know, regions and spots, and, you know, they're getting all the bars and all of that, still have problems. Now, 9 times out of 10, you don't have a problem. But when it comes down to that important phone call, that job interview, well, I would not risk it, because you could have that glitch. And as somebody that may be listening, I mean, there are people that, you know, will, okay, they'll accept that. They will overlook that, you know. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, when you're looking for somebody that you want to, you know, be very conscientious of the quality of the work, the quality of their documentation and everything else, the quality of their communications is critical. And why is it that we're accepting subpar crap like this? Anyway, we will get into part of that, but let me also move on to this concept of, oh, and the whole reason I went down this rant is we want your feedback. So if you've got access to a good line, or if you know you've got good coverage and it's a good time of day where there's not a lot of competition on the lines or what have you, then leave us a message. That way we can, you know, use that as an actual ad, and then you can, hey, you know, another reason why you'd want people to listen to Reclaiming the Republic, because your voice may be a part of an advertisement. So, and as this grows, who knows, we may be actually picking up, you know, other shows and so forth. I actually may be getting, you know, other shows where this show is getting picked up by affiliates and so forth. And so, that you could actually grow with this show. So helping the show grow helps vest you in that process, right? Anyway, we do need your support. We need everybody to get involved. We, you know, I'm dealing with a good guy. He's been in activism for 20 years, and I'll talk about this after the break if I don't get to finish. But this guy's been active in party, active in grassroots, and so forth for 20 years. And he's finally reached that point where he's going, you know, I'm done. I'm going to move on. You know, he feels compelled to be taking on a new charge and so forth. I completely get that. But as I'm going to reach back to this individual, this former leader, or this guy that's, you know, divorcing himself from activism, and I'm going to say, you know, you spent 20 years in the trenches. You know a lot of people. And so you've got to have a black book. You've got to have, you know, a Rolodex. Would you at least share that? I don't want to ask somebody to, you know, take all the time in introducing me to a lot of other people. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because this individual was very complimentary. And like I said, after the break, I will get into this because I think this is something that you should be recognizing. You know, I don't want to pat myself on the back. This is not about me, but this is about us and leading and so forth. And this is not difficult. This is not rocket science. This is standing up for the fundamental principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty and a very limited government, a defined and enumerated constitution, defined and enumerated powers delegated to government, whether that be state, whether that be federal. We never signed on as the framers, and they actually protected us from being able to shift and slide into socialism. So with that, we need to take this break. So when I come back, I'm going to have some comments from this guy. And the reason I'm going to read these comments isn't because it's about me. It's really more of, you know, I'll explain when we get back because I don't want to run out of time. God bless. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so what I wanted to do, and let me just kind of wrap up what I'm saying, and then I'll get into this letter, because we need your help. We need you to get involved. I know there are a lot of people out there that have become, if you want to call them disenfranchised, whether you want to call them apathetic, indifferent. What's another way of calling this out? And there's a lot of people that are just either frustrated or what have you. And so I understand that it gets tiring, especially when you keep on running into a brick wall and you feel like, you know, what is the use? This is different. This is, Republic Review is different. This is not about getting somebody elected. This is getting a paradigm shift and that paradigm elected. It doesn't matter who the name is and who the face is. They have to take a pledge to support, you know, defend, obey. And if they don't support, defend, and obey the constitutions, their state and the U.S. Constitution, then they're gone. It's a new, it's just a paradigm shift. It doesn't matter whether this person's going to go and bring jobs back to the county or to the city or to the state. That's really not their job. They may have some of those types of powers, and it's sad that, you know, people surrender those types of powers. If you live in a place like Ethiopia, you know, if where you live is very resource limited, your only resource is the ocean. You know what they say? If life gives you lemons, then create lemonade. And so if you only have the ocean, no other resource, then you need to start figuring out how you can use the ocean, like fishing, like putting the term of it, but it's like a potentiometer, or it is a winding type of paddle that they put underground or under the water for wave action for generating electricity. There are things that you can do that makes an area productive. It may cost, it may take investment, so you have to sell the idea and get people to invest in. And sometimes that's just running into, you know, brick walls in itself. But the point is that when life gives you lemons, you got to learn, or you got to figure out how to make lemonade out of it. And so as I was reaching out to a truly a leader in the conservative causes and the constitutional causes, I just want to read a little part of this, because here's a person that is actually, you know, hanging up his hat and heading off to, you know, different things, disengaging and not knowing. I sent this off to him because I've worked with him before, and he kind of sent this back, and some of this was really complimentary, and but I'm sharing it with you because bottom line, you know, he is, even though he says, I don't want to be defeatist, he is because as I've asked him, like, can you help? Can you get involved? He goes, well, you know, I'm done. And I'm going, okay, well, you know, you don't have to, lift any effort. Just send me your Rolodex. Send me, you know, do something here. And so these are some of the types of things that I am dealing with. And so anyway, I sent him off an email to give him the details of Republic Review so he could actually, you know, go through the bullets, the flow chart, and so forth, so that I've given him the basics and the understanding of Republic Review. And so he sends this back. He says, the Republic Review concept is altogether correct, a correct idea. Or is an altogether correct idea. I feel you've captured the spirit of how the American founders would appreciate this. I think you've studied the founders so much that you've learned to think like them. I mean, this is very common. I couldn't even buy this type of review if I was trying to get somebody to, you know, bolster me or what have you. I was just really blown away that he was just this complimentary. He says, however, I feel that Republic Review is so like the Constitution itself, its nature, that what John Adams said about it can equally be said about the other. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, and it is wholly inadequate to the government for any other. And so what he was trying to say there is he was trying to say that, you know, if the Constitution is strictly for a moral and religious people, I think Adams was completely wrong on this. I think the Lord knew that in inspiring this contract, that as we shifted down this other path, we still had the process of still living by the contract. Because I don't know anybody, regardless of their religious affiliation, even if they're an atheist, they want their contract honored. If they go into a contract, whether it be labor, whether it be construction, whatever that contract is, they still want the letter of that law and the terms of that contract honored. And so this is where we stand with Republic Review. It is all about honoring that contract and living by the terms of the contract or behaving and so forth. And so the whole point is as he was basically, you know, coming, giving me this feedback and saying, hey, you've got it, you nailed this, but I'm done. And he's moving on. And he was basically asserting that he didn't see any hope for any of this, because if we don't have a religious revival first, then we can't salvage our constitutional republic. And so what I'm trying to convey, and it just like either flies over people's heads or people don't necessarily agree with me, and you know, that's fine. We don't have to agree. But remember my premise, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. I am here to tell you that the reason we have become a godless nation, the reason we are in this situation, has more to do with government manipulation and the government education system. They have been teaching kids for years concepts of the separation of church and state. I meet people that are really good religious people, but they still stand on this, oh, we got to have a separation of church and state. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Do you realize what you just said? You just parroted the anti-constitutional paradigm. The Constitution of the federal government has zero. Federal government cannot create any laws, have any ruling, or any jurisdiction over religious matters, period. And so by you stepping up and saying we have to have a separation of church and state, and the church and the state needs to do that, what you're saying is you're okay with the federal government violating the fundamental tenets of the Constitution. We have to allow, it's one thing for states. It is one thing for states to have established or what have you, but it's a different thing for the federal government. It is completely constrained from doing anything like that and standing up and saying a separation, we can't support that. You got to stop prayer in school. That is a law that is regulating the expression of religion. And so we're down this road because of these violations. Republic Review, I want to say this so that you understand, Republic Review is the process of getting those obstructions, getting that indoctrination system in teaching people secularism and godlessness. It is the process of removing government from its social engineering tactics and its tyranny and its oppression and suppression of our fundamental rights. It gets them out of the way. And what it does is it frees. It opens up to the pastors, the churches, the communities to begin the healing process so that that revival can occur. If you're thinking that you can do a revival while a government has their boots on your neck, good luck. We first have to get them off of our necks so that we can actually begin to receive the blessings from the revival and so forth. I believe that it's a chicken and an egg type of thing. It truly is a chicken and egg. Because we allowed them to put their boots off of our onto our necks and we didn't stop them, we got to get those boots off of our necks first before we can actually start proselyting. Because we're going down this path really quick. We're, you know, missionaries going door to door, whether, you know, regardless of the faith, whether it's the, you know, the Watchtower handout or whomever. The fact of the matter is we're heading down this path where they're going to stop saying you can't even knock on somebody's door and try to offer them, you know, a different view of Christianity. That's it. It's all done. And that is the same thing that occurred in Russia, but it just happened here in a, let's just say it happened with a smiley face, you know, the big yellow smiley face. That's government just smiling at you saying, you know, that's okay, but you can't do that. And there was a book by Jonah Goldberg that talks about liberal fascism, and he uses a smiley face on that. And he goes, that's why it really can't happen here. It won't happen the same way it's happened. And I think that was the root of his message. It won't happen here like it has happened elsewhere. It will not happen with this huge, you know, revolution. And I think he's wrong. I think the Bolshevik Revolution is coming if we do not stop this. I believe that the Bolshevik Revolution will happen. The only thing that will stop it from being effective is if Republic Review has been engaged in enough states where the states have promulgated and disseminated the information so that people in the state legislatures, those leaders, understand and step in and say, federal government, you can't do this. And we'll talk about that more when we come back from the break. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so let me go back to that last promo. That promo was basically stating that we're obligated and duty-bound to protect the Constitution because of our oath, the implied oath of our oath of citizenship. Well, that same oath goes to our state legislatures and so forth. And if you understand the concept that we're talking about here, then what I am telling you, what I'm trying to share with you is simply this, that our representatives are obligated to protecting and living by that Constitution, making sure that government is functioning within the terms of the contract. And that is the same thing for you and I. We have an obligation, we have a duty to ensure that our governments, are operating within the terms and confines of the contract. It is our responsibility if we become complacent, and that's what this gentleman was talking about. And the fact that, I get it, you're done, you want to move on. And I'm not asking, you know, I had no intention to ask him, nor did I convey that, hey, I need your money then, or I need you to pay, or I need your time, because I get it. He's done. He doesn't have any more time. He doesn't want to assert or actually, exert. He doesn't want to exert any more effort. There you go. That's the word. And so I get it. That's okay. But you are a wealth of knowledge. All I'm asking is, can you at least, you know, do introduction emails or give me that Rolodex? Let me take, you know, the intelligence that you've acquired in these good people and be it. Because the problem is most people, even if you have a phone directory, most people don't write notes to the side as to the, you know, the credibility of this person. You know, if you called them, could you count on them and so forth. And so, you know, that's something that people kind of understand. Oh, when I call this guy, you know, or this gal or whoever, they jump on it, they get the job done. And that's great if you have somebody that is kind of gauging, you know, the character of the individuals and so forth. But, you know, you can't necessarily get them to transfer that, but at least the fundamental contact information, right? I mean, help me out here. So anyway, I wanted to just share that with you real quick, because here's a guy that was sending me these compliments, and then he started going down this path of going, hey, I believe that if we don't have the revival, it can't happen. And I'm here to tell you that I know that it wasn't a coincidence, because there's no doubt the divine hand of providence, because the reason why the framers used that term is they didn't want to use the words, the deity words, God, the Lord, and those types of words, due to the fact that they felt that that was like cursing back then. They were very sensitive to that, so they just referred to him as the divine hand of providence. And so the reason, you know, we're in this situation is because the good Lord knew. The divine hand of providence knew that we were going to be in harm's way as we started drifting. And he understood how evil, you know, if the prophets of the Bible talked about the last days and the, you know, the dreadful day of the Lord and all those types of things, then apparently the Lord must have known what we were going to be facing as well, or the divine hand of providence. And so my point is that it's not a coincidence that he gave us a contract or a compact that we would be able to utilize as leverage to get back into compliance. And that's what Republic Review does. It only makes sense that he had to have known, and he gave us everything we needed. And so it even makes sense to me that you have to get the heels or the boots off of our necks and backs before we can even go down the path of a revival. We're quickly going down. We're already less than 50% of the people in America are religiously active. And that is dropping rapidly. It has dropped 1% a year in the past 20 years. 1%. So it's dropped 20% in 20 years. And I believe it isn't really linear like that, where it's 1% a year. I believe it may have been a small percentage, a little bit bigger, to where the last few years has been going down at a clip of maybe 3% to 5%, to where we're now 20% down. And in 5 years, who knows, we may be down to 30% people are religiously active. It may be to that kind of magnitude. It's an exponential curve. There is no way that's a linear drop. And so, anyway, let me just kind of move on, because what I wanted to also do in responding or kind of addressing, because that email came in right after my, I don't want to say my rant yesterday, but my focus of what I was trying to convey. So, with that, let me thank you for tuning in. Let me thank you for getting this show to grow and helping more people tune in. I hope you realize that just by helping get more people to tune in, by you becoming, let's just say, our marketing, team, and saying, hey, if you're not listening to the message that this show is offering, it's not about me again. And I'm trying to duplicate this so other people are actually parroting this as well. I mean, why not? The mainstream media seems to repeat the exact same crap, like with the Benghazi stuff or with the Russian collusion. I mean, you hear those those diatribes constantly repeated. It's the exact same narrative. It's like there's somebody writing the scripts and then just people are repeating it. Well, this is not a hard script to understand. It's not a hard script to learn. And that's why anybody can actually start picking this up and moving forward with this. So anyway, I'm out to, ask you, please, not only get people involved, but to actually start parroting the whole concept of Republic Review, auditing the Constitution, getting the federal government back into the constraints of the Constitution. So let me jump back into what I was talking about yesterday, because yesterday I was talking about the hardwiring and the paradigms of those who embrace liberty and those who don't. And I was also talking about, like I said, these obstructions where people, just like this gentleman I'd been reaching out to, and actually it's kind of providence that I got that email yesterday. And it's kind of interesting how he came back with the same, concept that kind of marries some of these obstructions I've been hitting, where people are just, they're like fed up. I can tell you, with the Bill Clinton administration, there was an awakening that rapidly occurred. And people created the Tea Party. People started standing up because people said, we got to do something. Well, it's been 20, 30 years since his administration, right? Almost 30 years now, 20-some years. And I think there are a lot of people that are either just tired, they're dying off, and or they're apathetic, whatever, because they've never seen the fruit of their labor. I'm telling you, friends, things are moving, and this needs just more help to get this movement going faster and faster and faster. We're running out of time. Another thing that people like to talk about is because I'm coming across with this doom and gloom. And I'm here to tell you that, this isn't me saying doom and gloom. You go read the Bible. I mean, go look at, history, because that's what the Bible is, right? It's a history book, but it's also a look into the future. Well, anybody that will study natural sciences, anybody that studies science in any degree, they will know that if you study history enough, you can start predicting the future. And I'm here to tell you, go look at history. Go look at what's going on, the trends, the movement, and the social engineering, the manipulation, the deep state, the collusion and corruption within government. And all of those things will lead to a fact that I'm not going to deny that the Lord's in charge. He is in charge. But things will get bad. And the only way, if I am correct... Because another thing he was talking about was he's waiting for the revival and the restoration of, Christianity and so forth. I'm going, well, if he's talking about, the same thing that Sir Isaac Newton talked about, the desolation and the restoration, the angelic restoration, then either that stuff has already happened or we're so far away from it that, we shouldn't be worried about what's going on today. But with the technology and everything else, I think we are ripe. I think this is it. I will venture to, I will venture to predict that our time is quickly ticking and we are about out. I'm telling you, 2024 is where your life is going to be confronting real problems and issues that may have something to do with not only your life itself, but spiritual salvation and other ramifications. And so why sit and just sit on the laurels of where we are at and what we're doing? I mean, right? Don't you, if you know that there's construction and things happening on the side of the road, don't you move to the other side of the lane just to make sure you avoid having a problem? having to stop for an accident. So anyway, when we come back, I want to kind of wrap up where I think people, another factor of our Constitutional Republic, they miss this factor and how it is truly a blessing. So we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so as we were just talking about, there are some uncanny coincidences. The fact that we have a contract or a compact where the states actually have all the power necessary, we should be waking up to this fact that we actually have all the power. It's just like that Mordor. It's just like King Rohan in The Lord of the Rings, where Gandalf goes in and wakes him up and he realizes that he was under the spell, believing he didn't have his kingdom anymore. He didn't have his armies. He didn't have his horse riders and the defenders of his kingdom and his power. He just felt that all was lost because he believed in the evil soothsayer Wormtongue. I am here to tell you that the progressives have been convincing us that we do not have this power, and it's time to wake up with the fact that the states actually have all the power necessary. And so these things aren't a coincidence. These things, I believe, are, you know, gifts of the divine hand of providence, that we have an opportunity to control our direction. We can control. We've actually mortgaged and leveraged ourselves so heavily with debt and so forth that we have an ability to get out of this, but there may be a little austerity that comes with it, but nothing in comparison if we actually surrender and allow them to devalue everything that we have and do a, what do you want to call that? The game-changing equalizing, so that America doesn't have any advantages over people of, whether it's the African continent and the Pacific Islands, Asia, what have you. We all basically are set at a reset down to the fundamental lowest levels. I'm here to tell you that not only do we have the stakeholders, but the fact is the way the Constitution was broken up as a Republican form of government, or the Republic itself, every state has equal stake. And so as I talk to people in these flyover states, these least populated states like Wyoming and the Dakotas and so forth, as I talk to these folks, I tell them, look, you actually have the same level of authority and power to exert in this Constitution as California, the most populated state, as New York and Texas and Florida, or Alaska, the largest landmass state. My point is that the whole point of this republic, the way it was designed, is each state had equal voice. And so that as the state stood up, we have enough within the minority to actually assert the authority without having to take on a big state, or I should say a large populated state. And I said, how great is that? Do you think that that would be humbling to these arrogant Democrats that think, or socialists that believe in democracy form of government, that mob rule, that California is going to drive America in and off the abyss, or that these blue, progressive, heavily populated states can dictate to the rest of the republic because they have more people? I am telling you that it's not a coincidence that we have a system that we have to allow the minorities, and Madison spoke very clearly about protecting the minorities from mob rule. Minority states out there, you states with the least populated, stand up and assert your equal authority before you lose it. Remember, the Constitutional Convention, they actually wanted to apportion the entire union based on population so that Virginia would have been the big dog in every fashion because it was the most populated state. So, folks, please wake up. It is not a coincidence that we have what we've been given in our Constitution, our form of government, and so forth. And I like to point out that when people start reading these polls, sure, there may be a majority of the people that are indifferent towards religion, less than 50% active. But guess what? In these red flyover states, it's absolutely the opposite. There are still lots of people that are active religiously, that are still, fully engaged in the community and so forth. It is a paradigm shift. We're almost creating two separate cultures. I don't know if you've ever flown overseas to where you've gone to a third world nation. And I'm not equating to the flyover states as a third world nation at all, but they are a different culture. When you get out there, the people are actually friendly. It's not like when I was living in Southern California where you walk into a store and everybody's looking at you like, what do you want? What are you doing here? You know, if it's the first time you walked into a store or a restaurant or what have you. I mean, everybody is, looking, are you a threat? Because gangs and the paradigm and the culture within these large populated, because of the, like I said, gangs and crimes and so forth, it has affected us. We have been affected by a disease. So I'm just trying to point out that the fact that we have the makeup of this republic where the states have equal stake and equal say, that's not a coincidence, my friends. What we're dealing with is a true blessing. And if we do not jump on this, if we do not grab this bull by the horns with the powers that we still have, then that bull will be ending up facing us and goring us and putting us asunder. And so let me just move on. I almost took up the entire show, and I wanted to get into some of the news. But, just to go in line with the paradigm of these socialistic states, Oso the communist has come out, and this isn't the first time you hear this kind of crap. No, she's asserting that nobody's heartbroken about losing their private health insurance. Well, I got a suggestion for everybody. When you hear somebody, talk about, Obamacare fixing, our healthcare system or what have you, the chant from America should be, Obama lied, he must be tried. Obama lied, he must be tried. Obama, because he clearly lied and said, if you like your insurance, you'll be able to keep your insurance. He had the ability to protect us from anything other. He could have vetoed that stupid ACA just because he was not going to lie to the American people. But instead, he did lie. He sold us out because he knew the details were there. This can all be proven in court. He knowingly lied and rammed down our throats something that was completely a misrepresentation of what he was selling, him and his administration. And so Obama, there you go, folks. Obama lied. He must be tried. Just like how the activists like to get out there, the Antifa and so forth, they like to have their little chance. So when Biden, if Biden becomes the nomination, then all you got to do is go to, you know, his speeches and or debates or stumping, what have you. Just take a few people with you and start chanting, Obama lied, he must be tried. Obama lied, he must be tried. And just rock their world, right? Another thing that I've noticed, and this is a growing trend, and this speaks to a conversation I had last night regarding the problems with our judiciary and our federal court system and so forth. We have real problems. The judges are not supposed to legislate. They're not supposed to create laws, but that's what they've been doing. But on the flip side, judges are now getting politically correct shaming. There was a judge, and this is, he's not the first judge, but they make a comment like, you know, this guy shouldn't be tried as this young man who is a rapist. He was a kid and he was a rapist. And the judge's comments were, well, he shouldn't be tried as an adult because he's coming from a good family. And so they're politically, the political correct police out there are shaming him. And he has actually stepped down and resigned his position as a judge. And I'm going, well, that's really interesting that judges are actually succumbing to public shaming like that. And I'm going, okay, well, maybe we can start public shaming the Supreme Court for violating the Constitution, for actually engaging in cases that they have no jurisdiction. So I don't know, maybe we can shame our judges, you know, instead of shaming them for, you know, social justice, maybe we should shame them for constitutional justice, huh? Just an idea. Another thing is that Berkeley is starting a new trend and they're banning gendered words. In other words, you know, congressman or, you know, anything that has something to do with man or what have you, they're trying to ban those types of words. And I'm going, well, you can't be surprised, folks. What's around the corner is a full actual seizure of speech and speech control, so that the politically correct crowd out there is going to be able to literally dictate what you can say and what you can't say. And oh, if you use those words, you're going to be fined. And I'm here to tell you, all of that is a violation of the Constitution. We have a right of expression and conscience. They cannot compel us. They cannot pass laws that make something illegal. It's almost like an ex post facto law, but even more so, it is a violation of our First Amendment rights. Now, I'm not sure if you heard, and we've kind of ran out of time, but Panama's flag oil tanker, there was a flagged oil tanker with Panama's flag on it that Iran seized. I have been saying for years that if other countries want to be able to enjoy the freedom of the flowing of commerce, they need to start paying America for the cost of keeping the flow of commerce open. And so here's a good instance of that. Well, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming, and we're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and we'll be back. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.